time for some Red Sox talk. And to do that, we always turn to our friend Sean McAdam of Boston Sports Journal. Hello there, Sean.
Rich, how are you?
Doing very well, thank you. Is the new year off to a pretty good start for you?
No complaints. Yeah, no, everything's going okay.
Well, the Red Sox are trying to fill some needs. There's a lot on the grocery list for Heim Bloom, but he took care of a big piece with the signing of center fielder with some power in Adam Duvall. You wrote about it today on Boston Sports Journal. He's an interesting guy. There's some potential, but there are also some questions about him, right?
Yeah, there are, Rich. I mean, this is a guy who presumably is ticketed for center field, although the Red Sox haven't talked about their plans for him officially because the deal isn't 100% complete. We've seen in this winter what can happen between an agreement, a physical, and then a contract being made official. But assuming that this goes through, it looks like he is ticketed to play center field, and that's something he hasn't done a whole lot of. You know, you think he's played 75 games or so over the course of his career in center. He's been a good corner outfielder. In fact, he won a gold glove there as recently, as a couple of years ago. But center is not something he's played a whole lot of, so there's that question. There's also the matter of his wrist, which forced him to miss about half of last season with a sheath issue on the wrist that impacted him. Assuming that's okay now and that the Red Sox are satisfied with what they've seen of his medicals, but that's one more thing to take into consideration. But in general, you know, we're talking about a guy who can be an above-average outfielder and someone who, you know, has 30 home run pop and hits right-handed. That's also nice because I think if you look at the two guys who are going to be surrounding him, Yoshida in left and Verdugo in right, both are left-handed. And frankly, both are, you know, at best, well, I would say Yoshida is not even an average defender. He's below average. And Verdugo, I think, is going to be challenged to play right field full-time, although he did it some in his first year here in 2020. I think it's been shown that his best position here is in left, but that is otherwise occupied, and he almost has to play right by default. So, you know, there are some questions that come with this, but in general, I think it's an upgrade and a guy that can be a pretty good complementary player here.
Are they hoping he is, I guess, for lack of a better term, a Hunter Renfro 2.0?
Yeah, that's not a bad comparison. I actually think Renfro was not a good outfielder himself. The defensive metrics support that. If people, I think, got infatuated with his arm, which was strong, not always accurate, but he was not a great outfielder. He was well below zero when it came to defensive runs saved in his 1 year at Fenway. He did have that righty pull power, which I think Duvall will also show. But yeah, as a swing and miss, low batting average, potential for 30 homers, generally pretty good in the outfield, that's not a bad comparison.
So with that move, it looks like Kike Hernandez will end up as the starting shortstop. Alex Cora seems pretty confident that that's a position he can handle defensively.
Yeah, that's another gamble in my mind. I like Hernandez's versatility. He's a guy that, as we've seen, can play both outfield and infield and has done so. But again, 100 career games at shortstop over about 10 years in the big league. So a relatively small sample size from which we can judge him in that position. I don't think he's going to be a guy booting balls left and right by any stretch, but I would say that there's probably some unknown here about his suitability for shortstop. I assume he's going to be at least adequate. In fact, there's little doubt that he's going to be at least that good, but how much better he's going to be than that, I think, remains to be seen. And, you know, one thing to take into consideration here, Rich, is that with a lot of new players on this roster, and some position changes having taken place. The fact that a lot of these guys are going to be occupied in March with the World Baseball Classic and not in camp and not getting to work with new teammates, and Hernandez's case, if he's playing for Team Puerto Rico, he's not getting comfortable with Christian Arroyo or whoever's going to be his double play partner at second. He's not, you know, playing behind a pitching staff that's going to have some new guys there. So I think there's some unknown about a lot of this. And while the WBC is probably a good thing in terms of exposure for the game and marketing on an international basis, this is some bad timing for the Red Sox that they're going to have, you know, a half dozen or more guys out of camp for a couple of weeks and not getting comfortable either with new teammates or at new positions.
We're talking with Sean McAdam here on Downtown. You mentioned Christian Arroyo. He seems to be the guy at second base. Can he handle the grind of a full season? Would they be better served to get, as you suggest, maybe a left-handed hitting platoon partner? Or just, you know, what's the backup plan if Arroyo goes down?
Yeah, a good question, and one worth asking given Arroyo's injury history. He's never played more than 90 or so games in a season. I think he's a pretty good player and an underrated player, but he's a guy that has not been exactly just a durability. So in my mind, they have to have somebody to either platoon with him, push him a little bit, and then act as insurance. Preferably, that would be a left-handed infielder, somebody like Joey Wendell, who we know they've shown some interest in. That would still make some sense, I think. So I would look for them to add to that depth over the next few weeks before the start of spring training, because simply saying that Arroyo is your guy, while not having much insurance at that spot, if he does get hurt, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So I think whether it's Wendell or somebody else, we'll see them go out and get another second baseman.
It looked like they made a pretty good pickup to get some catching depth with a minor league contract the other day.
Yeah, Jorge Alfaro is a guy that has plenty of big league experience. He was with San Diego last year. He's been with Miami, been with a couple of teams. You know, not a great offensive player, although he did have a couple of seasons earlier in his career where he had, I think, 35 homers over the span of a couple of years. You know, just a guy that's been around and can handle a pitching staff and gives them a little insurance in the event that Connor Wong doesn't demonstrate that he's capable of, you know, being a backup guy or a platoon guy at the major league level. I think they're pretty convinced that Reese McGuire can be a guy that can handle a good portion of the load, but there's a lot of unknown with Connor Wong. You know, they've liked what they've seen, but it's been relatively small sample size. So to have Alfaro stashed at Worcester until at least June when he has his first opt-out makes a lot of sense, and a guy that's got plenty of big league experience and has more of a track record than Wong does.
There are a lot of pitchers on the roster, a lot of question marks as well, but I think a really intriguing signing with the pickup of veteran Corey Kluber, and you wrote about him on Boston Sports Journal earlier this week. He's a guy who's transformed his pitching style over time, and I, you know, wonder if he could be a guy who becomes a pretty decent bargain for them.
Yeah, I think he's, you know, this is not the Corey Kluber of, you know, say 2014 through 17 or 18, where you could make a case that he was one of the best starters in the game. In that five-year span, he won two Cy Young Awards and finished in the top five two other times. So there's little argument about how dominant he was then. This is not that Corey Kluber. He missed you know, most of 2019 and 20 with some injuries. He's come back and pitched with the Yankees, pitched with the Rays last year. I think it helps that he's been in the division the last couple of years and, you know, knows the lineups and the opponents pretty well. But, you know, he's a guy who's now, you know, 88 to 90 with his fastball instead of 92 to 93, 94. But he's made some adjustments. He has a cutter now that he relies a lot on. You know, as long as you keep expectations in line and view him as, say, like a number four guy, you know, somebody who can use his know-how and stay away from the middle of the plate and, you know, get guys to chase a little bit and not get good wood on balls and put balls in play that aren't hit very hard. He's not going to overpower you. He's not going to have huge strikeout numbers. But he's a guy that's, you know, pitched in the big leagues for a long time now and knows what he's doing. And, you know, I would look at him kind of as this year's Michael Wacha. Wacha threw harder, obviously, but same type of experience and a guy who's been around and knows how to move the ball around and give you some innings when he's healthy.
Now, how many guys out of the potential opening day rotation will be on pitch count limits to start the year?
Yeah, I think a lot of that is going to depend, Rich, on what happens in spring training and how guys like Chris Sale and James Paxton look. You know, together they've combined for about 70 innings over the last two or three years. So they're very much question marks until they prove otherwise and show that they're completely healthy and recovered. You can construct the best case scenario where they bounce back and you know, provide you with 150 plus innings, and you're pretty happy to have two guys of that caliber, veteran lefties, in your rotation. But to count on them for 300 combined innings would be probably overly optimistic at that point. You've got Garrett Whitlock coming off hip surgery. You've got Brian Bayo, who has 10 career starts in the big leagues. You know, the one constant, the one guy that you don't really have any physical question marks or experience question marks about is Nick Pivetta, but that's a guy that got his lunch against a lot of ALA's teams last year and, you know, finished with an ERA in the fours. So there is some depth there. There is some other guys in the system, and you know, you always need way more than five starters. You figure you're going to end up having, you know, 9, 10, 11 guys start games over the course of a long season, no matter who you are. And the more options you have at AAA or guys that are pitching out of the bullpen now, somebody like Tanner Houck could end up going in either role. So they do have the numbers. They do have a number of different options to turn to, but they don't have really anybody where you look at him and say, okay, that guy's going to give us 180 innings and 15 wins. You have guys who could, but that's a long way from saying that you can count on that.
The one area where they seem to have definitely improved themselves is out in the bullpen, and we haven't paid a lot of attention to it, but some of those guys they got, we know about Kenley Jansen, but guys like Chris Martin, Rodriguez, those are key guys in getting you from starters that may only be able to give them five innings at a time to Jansen at the back end.
Yeah, well, look, we know how the game is now where, you know, you basically divide up the innings total between your rotation and your bullpen for the course of the year. That would have been unthinkable as recently as 10 or 15 years ago, but that's how Major League Baseball is now where, you know, if a guy gives you five innings, sometimes even less than that, you're happy, and then you stitch together the last, you know, 14, 15, 16 outs with three or four different arms out of the bullpen, and the more people you have that you feel comfortable putting out there in high leverage situations in the seventh and eighth, and Martin is certainly one of those guys. Rodriguez is another, particularly when matching up with lefties. Then you think about Schreiber, and if Barnes can be the guy he was in the second half of last year, then all of a sudden you've got, you know, a quartet of guys to get you to Jansen in the ninth. And then just having an experienced closer for those final three outs. I know that, you know, in a lot of ways, the game has moved away from that kind of prescription for the late innings. But I still think there's some value to having some structure to the ninth inning and knowing who's going to get the ball for the final three outs if you're up.
The interesting offseason continues. Sean, we appreciate you giving us the latest update and sharing your thoughts on the Red Sox. We'll do it again soon.
Look forward to it, Rich. Thanks.
Thank you, Sean. Sean McAdam, Boston Sports Journal, with us.